Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you. Thank you so much for the salvation that you've given us through Jesus Christ. I ask you, Father, that if there's even one here today that is not absolutely sure that they're on their way to heaven, that they've not, don't know beyond any shadow of a doubt that they've been saved, I pray that you'd give them the conviction of the Holy Spirit today. Let them feel your love and your presence. And let them take care of that today. There's nothing more important in this life than knowing we're saved and on our way to heaven. We thank you for this opportunity to come into your house, for this opportunity to minister your word. And I just ask you, Father, that your anointing would be upon me and upon your word, and that it would be all of you today and none of me, that it would be exactly what you've laid upon my heart and nothing more. We thank you, Father, for the Center Point Church and for what it means to us and for the people here and for the love that's in this place. We thank you that when we come here, you meet with us. And Father, we don't take that lightly whatsoever. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me kind of give you some information on the message this morning. Number one, it's probably going to be nothing more than an introduction to a message that I hope God lets me preach in about 2 weeks. Now, he's really been dealing with me on this subject for quite a while, and I know we're not going to get nearly as far into it as I would like to. So again, just kind of consider this an introduction and be helping me pray that God would continue to develop this message and that in a couple of weeks we can really preach it the way he wants it preached. Because, folks, what we're going to be talking about today can change your life. What we're going to be preaching about today, I have known for years, but I've really never looked at it like this. And it's amazing when you get a new insight. It's not new to God, it's new to us, right? But when we can get a new insight into something on the Word of God, it can really bring a deeper meaning out of the Word of God and out of the Scriptures that we read and out of what we study. And I'll tell you up front, I really don't plan on preaching very long this morning. Because like I said, this is an introduction. Of course, that's all up to the Holy Spirit. If he leads us to go deeper this morning, then we will go deeper. We're going to be using quite a few scriptures this morning. You're welcome to follow along with us. If you want to just write them down for a reference later on, you're welcome to do that as well. We're going to be laying a foundation at the beginning this morning on something that probably everybody here knows, but we really have to get this foundation down and get it solid and get it secure. Just like building a house or any kind of building, if you don't have a solid foundation, the building's not going to stand very long. I'm going to start off by reading part of Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and reading part of John chapter 14, verse 6, and they go extremely well together. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby men must be saved." Amen. Now, let me read that a different way, and it doesn't change the meaning whatsoever. In fact, it enhances the meaning. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby men can be saved. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Now, it doesn't take us very long to analyze those scriptures to see that it's very clearly saying that Jesus is the source of salvation. He is the only source. People have tried to be saved in numerous other ways throughout all the years, and folks, not a one of them that has tried it any other way has ever been saved. If you are saved, then you got saved through the one and only source of salvation, Jesus Christ. If you haven't been saved, then let me make it very clear to you that the only way that you can ever be saved is through faith in Jesus Christ. Quit trying other ways. You cannot get saved through works. You cannot get saved by being good enough. And I've always wondered, I've even used the illustration here before, what is good enough? I mean, who sets the standard on what is good enough? Of course, we know there is no standard on good enough. You can't be saved that way. You cannot even be saved by being religious. It was the religious crowd of Jesus' day that crucified him, and those that were religious and did not ever receive him died and went to hell. And they were very religious. They kept the law to the letter. In fact, they kept it too extreme. They were very religious, but they were lost. You cannot be saved even with good, godly parents. All right, you can get saved with them, but not by them. Let me put it that way. Folks, there is no other way. Jesus is the only source of salvation. And like I said, most of us already realize that. But that fact is essential and it's foundational for what God has laid on my heart for this morning. So let's move to the next part. Just as Jesus is the only source of our salvation, we must realize that He is the only source of everything else that we need in life. Just as He is the only source for salvation, we must realize that He is the only source for everything else that we need in life. Once we realize that, folks, we're going to start getting a little more excited and a little less worried. Not only is He the source, but the Bible tells us that He is the source is more than enough. More than enough to handle your circumstances and your situation. We get so focused on the circumstances and the situation that we take our eyes off of the source that can get us out of the circumstances and the situation. We need to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, the absolute source of everything that we need. And like I said, He's more than enough. If you look at into one of the names of God, one of His names is El Shaddai. And I know a lot of times we hear these names and we really don't understand what they mean. I heard that song sung for years. There's a song called El Shaddai. And I heard that song for years and years and years. And finally somebody asked me, sir, what's that mean? Yet we were singing it and listening to it all these years. And a lot of times we take things for granted that we shouldn't take for granted. But when I dug into that name, El Shaddai, it means the God of more than enough. That's who your source is. He isn't just the God that can supply all of your needs. He's the God that can supply all of your needs with more than enough. But He is the source. And here lately I've been doing, as God's been dealing with me on this, I've been going back and digging in to the Greek names of God. And every one of them you look at, it may not specifically say it, but it's implied in every one of them that He is the source. Let me give you an illustration. Hopefully you can picture this. I know we've all driven by a grape orchard somewhere, and we all see the grape vines. And in fact, Jesus tells us that He is the vine and that we are the branches. Just like those grape vines have branches. The branch gets everything it needs from the vine. And nowhere else. You take that vine or that branch and you cut it off from the vine, it won't be long till it withers and dies because that vine is the source of life for that branch. The more that branch is attached to the vine and the better that it's attached to the vine, the more it's going to be healthy and thriving. But you cut it off and it will wither and it will die. Because that vine is the source. Now folks here, I really think this is the whole key that God wants us to get from this message. And again, we're not going to get this into your heart today. I'm hoping just to really kind of break a crack open. And I can tell by some of the looks on your faces, so far we haven't got that done, but we're going to. Once we realize that God is the source, you'll never worry again. You're worried because you think you're the source. You're worried because you think your job is the source. You're worried because you think the economy is in bad shape. You're worried about all these things. Again, I said the circumstances and the situation. That's what we're worried about. But once we realize that God is the source, we're not going to be worried about that. Especially when we find out that the source loves us. When we don't trust God, what we're saying is, I don't trust your love. And I can relate to that so clearly, and I may have shared this with you before, but I remember growing up, I wanted to learn how to swim so bad, but for some reason, some stupid reason, I did not trust my dad to teach me. Dad would try to teach me, and I just knew he was not going to just let me drown, he was going to make me drown. And a lot of times that's how we see God. We see God as the guy that's not going to let us drown, and we see the guy, he's pushing us under. That's the absolute wrong concept of God. We need to realize that He is our loving Father that loves us, and He is the source, and He is big enough to meet your need. Amen. Folks, I don't care if that's individually, I don't care if that's in your family, and I don't care if that's in our church. Our church is dealing with some things right now, but guess what? God is our source. God is our source, and we've got to get that deep down into our spirit. And really let it speak to us. Now we're going to go to several scriptures in the next few minutes. And I want to show you something that God showed me just recently. And it's made a big difference in how I'm reading the Bible now. Every time that I see the word God or a reference to God, right after that I'm adding the word the or the phrase the source. And I want you to look, as we go through these scriptures, what an impact it makes on the scriptures. Starting in Genesis 1:1. And no, we're not going to go all the way to Revelation today. You can relax on that one. But I found it interesting that even in the very first verse, God has this concept right there. It says, in the beginning, God, the source, created the heaven and the earth. Folks, there was and is one creator. God was and is the source of creation. He created everything, and He looked back and said, it is good. God, the source, is the source of creation. In fact, over in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, it says that all things were created by Him. And without Him was nothing created. That tells me that He is the source. It even goes on to say that He created the visible things and the invisible things. The things in heaven, the things in earth, the powers and the principalities, the dominions, everything. Every single thing was created by the source, which is God. Psalms 23, verse 1. And I have intentionally picked out verses that we're all very familiar with to really get this down to our heart. Psalm 23, 1. Boy, I got really excited on this one. The Lord, the source, is my shepherd. I shall not want. You need to get that down in your spirit where it just... all night long, you're sitting there or you're lying there in bed, and that's going through your mind, even though you're asleep, that the Lord, the source, is not just the shepherd, He is my shepherd, and I shall not want, because He is my source, and He is the source. Hopefully you're starting to see how powerful this revelation is. Now, just like the shepherd in the natural realm is the source for the sheep, our shepherd is the source. And you don't see the sheep out there worrying and fretting. They know that the shepherd is going to take care of them. We need to know that our shepherd, the source, is going to take care of us. And again, if we don't trust Him, then we're literally saying, God, I don't trust your love in me. What else could He do to prove His love to us? He sent His only Son. And the Bible says that if He gave us Jesus Christ, then why would He not freely give us all these other things? He is the source. And He takes good care of us. Matthew chapter 6. And my, oh my, oh my. Wish we had a lot of time on this one, but right now we're just going to try to get this thought through to you. I'm going to read several scriptures here. Starting in verse 28, Matthew says, "And why take ye thought for raiment?" In other words, he said, why are you worried about what you're going to wear? Why are you even giving a thought to what you're going to put on? He goes on and says, "Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God the source so clothe the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he the source not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Take thought, or therefore take no thought, saying..." Boy, there, you know, again, we ought to catch that. "Take no thought." Don't worry about it at all. "Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, the source, knoweth that you have need of all these things." But here's the key. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you by the source." Folks, right there, there's a key. Right there. Take no thought for what you're going to eat or drink or wear. The Bible tells us to not even be worried about tomorrow. Don't even be concerned about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough evil in it to take care of itself. What we need to do is quit worrying and start seeking God. I'm going to be talking about this more tonight, but the challenges that we're facing here at Centerpoint will never be met in the natural realm. This is not a natural battle. It's a spiritual battle. And until we start fighting in the spiritual realm, we will not win. But folks, the second we step over in the spiritual realm and we start fighting the battle, again, not just in our church, in our families, in our personal life, when we step over from the natural into the spiritual and we start seeking God and His kingdom and His righteousness, guess what? God will do what He said He would do. He cannot lie. It's not that He won't. He cannot lie. And we need to get that down into our hearts. Quit worrying about the stuff. And start seeking the Father. Amen. One last scripture. Actually, I've got two more. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God, the source, shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." First of all, there it is, that promise. My God shall supply. He promises to meet our needs. But not just meet our needs, He promises to do it according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Let me give you an example God shared with me this week, and it just literally blew my mind. And it's amazing. The simpler the example, the more it makes sense to me, and it probably does to you too. But let's say that you lived right next to the ocean. And let's assume for just a moment that the water in the ocean was drinkable. You could just go down, get you a cup of water, and drink it. If you've ever been to the ocean, you know right now you cannot do that. It's full of salt. It goes in your mouth, it's going to come out immediately. But let's say that you could. And let's say that you drank all of the water you could, all that you needed. You used all of the water around your house every single day for all of your life. How much is the ocean level going to drop? It's a never-ending supply. You could drink all you want, you could use all you want, and the supply will never diminish one little bit. Because guess what? Even though you might be going through a drought or a famine in your life, there's places like Arkansas getting a lot of rain that's sending the water back to the ocean. Folks, we've got to get the picture that God's supply, you can't drain it. You cannot drain it. You can never exhaust His ability. Amen. There will always be more than enough to meet all of your needs, because he's not just a source, he is the source. A source could run out. The source won't run out. One last verse. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope, and I want to read that this way, now the source of hope, which is God, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Folks, did you notice there it said that he is not only the God of hope, but he wants to fill us with all joy and peace, that we may abound in hope. I hope you're starting to see this. God is the source of salvation. When you get saved, you know exactly where to go, because there is only one source. God is also the only source to meet all of your needs. He is the source for your financial needs. Some of you are relying so much on your job, I feel sorry for you. It's not about your job, it's about your source, who is the source. If need be, God can take care of you out in the middle of the wilderness, just like he did the nation of Israel. You may be saying, well, Brother Greg, how do you know that? Diane and I moved to Prairie Grove for 3 months. We had zero income. We moved there because I knew that's where God wanted us to go. I had been looking for a job. I had been looking for a house. And finally, God just said, move and let me take care of you. Scariest thing I ever did, but I said, you told us to go, we're going. For another 3 months with zero income. And no, I cannot tell you how we met our needs, because we didn't meet them, God met them. Some way, somehow, I don't know how he did it. For 3 months, with no job, he met every single need we had. It's not about your job. It's not about your ability to be able to perform. It's about who your source is. So he is the source to meet all of our needs. We already said he was the source of hope. And as you go down through the scripture, and we'll probably get into this more later on, you're going to see that he is the source for joy, for peace, for comfort, for healing, for healthy relationships, for love, for wisdom, for whatever you need in your life. He is the source. There is no other. Just like there is no other name under heaven whereby we can be saved, folks, there is no other name under heaven whereby we can have our needs met. We need to realize he's the source. I want to give you an exhortation this morning. I want to encourage you and exhort you. As you're going through the scriptures and as you're reading your Bible, every time you see the word God, Lord, Jesus, a reference to God, that right after that you put the source in that verse. It'll make the scriptures come alive to you. And in 2 or 3 weeks, if God allows me to delve into this deeper, I may even ask you, did somebody come up with a verse that really spoke to you? So you may want to do your homework so you won't be embarrassed, okay? I won't pick on you without you volunteering, but if we really get this, we'll go home and we'll do our homework, I promise you. And start doing that. So this morning, here is the invitation. If you've never been saved, I invite you this morning to come to the source of salvation and to receive the gift of eternal life that God is offering you. There is no other way to be saved. You can go your whole life exhausting every possible plan, trying to find another way. You'll never find another way. And if you have been saved, then I invite you to really get a hold of the fact that God is not only your source, but that he is the source, and that he is more than able. More than able. More than able to meet your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And like I said, we're going to talk about that more tonight, folks, but we as a church have got to get a hold of this, and we have got to start doing things God's way. Our way hasn't worked. Our way hasn't worked. We have to admit that. Trying to do it in the natural has not worked. It won't work in your personal life, won't work in your family, won't work in the church. But once we get a hold of the realization that He is the source and that He is more than able and that He is more than willing to meet your needs, it'll change your perception of God and your needs will be met. Let's stand and let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before You. Thank You so much that You are the source. God, I thank You first and foremost that You are the source of salvation, that there is no other way under heaven that we can be saved. And Father, we don't need any other way. We just need to receive Your Son and His sacrifice that He gave us on Calvary. And Father, I also thank You that You are the source for everything that we need in our life. Everything that we need as a church, everything that we need as families, and everything that we need as individuals. You are the source. And You clearly tell us that You are more than able to do abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And Father, that You want to do those things for us, but that we have to quit the worrying. We have to quit taking thought for all of the stuff. We have to start seeking You and Your kingdom and Your righteousness. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.